It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Stop being so selfish, Jeremy. Shave the damn thing off, weave it together, walk over to Howard and stick it on top of his head.
Hey!
Calm the poor guy down. You're stressing me out, okay? Every morning at 6 a.m., all right, I'm right there with you, brother, right there. But by 6:15, you got me ready to pop Valium. Oh, I got some advice for you, buddy.
What?
Smoke a joint here and calm yourself down.
No.
But then his NFL career will be derailed.
That's right. I don't want to have a positive test. Rich, in my next life, I'm going to drink.
Okay, well, I just gave you some advice.
Yeah, I can't do that.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Nah, I'll get in trouble. 803-0550 to join us. I have a Bills question for you.
Good. I've got a Sabres question for you.
I want to bring up wide receivers again. Just real quick. We tossed on this the other day.
We just fought about this.
No. Not DeSean Jackson.
Okay.
So Art Rooney II, the owner of the Steelers, told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette hard to envision Antonio Brown with the team when they go to training
camp. I prefer if you call guys with the two next to the name 2.0.
Really?
Yeah, it's 2019. Yeah. Art Rooney 2.0.
Art Rooney 2.0.
Second version.
Okay. Says it's hard to envision Antonio Brown. They won't release Antonio Brown, but it's hard to envision him with the team at camp. Okay, so that would leave trade Antonio Brown as your option. Sal Majorana had a piece up at the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle yesterday about three key names, two on the free agent market and one being Antonio Brown, and whether the Bills would actually consider any one of these guys.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell, don't answer yet, Kareem Hunt, and Antonio Brown. Percent of chance that any of these three guys, percent, are actually considered by the Bills. None of them, right? 0% chance?
Yeah.
Okay. Even Brown?
Especially Antonio Brown.
Forget Hunt, forget Bell. Okay.
I'm speechless.
Okay.
People pay attention to the team, right? They know what the team is about.
Maybe.
A guy that skipped out on a
practice.
Game.
End game. Yeah, practice.
That they needed to win because he was worried about his own.
Okay. I just wanted to run it by you.
I just don't understand.
Did the Bills even at least make a call to Pittsburgh and say, hey, what do you guys want for Antonio Brown? They don't even get to that point?
Of course not.
Okay.
Right?
He's a hell of a player.
I know.
Can't make a call just to see what they're asking for?
No. Okay. Of course they won't.
All right. No, I was just trying,
this
man.
Team removes half the players from the draft board because they're not... No, I shouldn't say that. I don't know that to be true. No. They're not going to take... No.
Come on, make a call. See what they're asking for.
No. They're not going to do it. Sammy Watkins was too much of a diva for them.
But Antonio Brown is productive.
Yeah.
And stays on the field. Like, plays. He doesn't, you know, Sammy also had issues with not staying healthy. Okay.
Antonio Brown has an issue with playing because he wasn't voted the team MVP.
Yeah.
Listen, if they do it, then it's fine. They could. I mean, I'm not against signing or going after really good players. It's just that, you know, then the question becomes, like, does this fit your culture? Yeah. Sure.
He's got 3 years left on term. He's going to be here for a little while.
I'm not against the move.
Top target.
I just know who the GM and the coach are, and they're just not going to do that.
Okay.
Right?
I wouldn't
Kareem
expect
Hunt
them
is
to.
A horrible
no,
idea.
That's never happening, and Bell's never happening.
And Le'Veon Bell just sat out a full season.
No, there's no way. No way. Look, first off, even if Le'Veon Bell didn't sit out a full season, there's no way the Bills would pay him what he's going to get on the open market.
Maybe they would.
No. They're going to pay him like $14 million?
If there's a team that... List the teams that are willing to pay big running back money. Aren't the Bills one of those teams?
I would not see them giving that kind of contract
to a
running
willing
back.
To pay LeSean McCoy $9 million this year.
For 1 year. I mean, you'd be signing Bell for 5 years and 4 years, 5 years, and $14 million a year. That's not happening. Kareem Hunt is not happening because of what happened with Kareem Hunt and what happened off the field. Brown, I just thought, man, it can't hurt you to, you know, make a phone call, see what the Steelers want. Sure would make Josh Allen a better quarterback.
I just laid out the case for you why I wanted them to get receivers, and I don't care what the term is.
This guy's younger, and he's got 3 years term left.
I mean, you're not,
and he's far more productive than DeSean.
We need
Jackson.
To get Brandon Bean on the phone because you don't have to convince me; you have to convince him.
Okay, get him.
I mean, Sean McDermott didn't want Corey Coleman.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
And then again, Corey Coleman.
If Rex was here, they'd go after.
They
Antonio
might go after
Brown.
Antonio Brown, right? Yeah, you have to convince me. I have settled into I think I understand the kind of player they're going to get and the kind of player that they're not going to get.
Yes, so I was hoping for you to at least open the door for me to think that could actually happen.
I don't even entertain the idea. And whenever anyone asks, how about trading for Antonio Brown, I want to ask them if they've met the football team. Have you met the Bills? Do you know what how they operate? They don't want that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Well, he would buck the trend of them bringing in veteran wide receivers who go bust.
I mean, well, here's a point to be made on that, though. They went out and got Calvin Benjamin, thinking he was one of their guys, and he clearly was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't exactly tell the future, and you can't expect them to be able to tell the future. But I don't know.
How about this one? You ready? The room is now strong enough to support like that.
Right. Of course it is.
The culture.
Right. It's been built.
Yeah. So, you know, the veteran leadership on this team keeps Antonio Brown in line.
Like it did in Pittsburgh.
Well, clearly Tomlin runs a loose ship.
Apparently.
Just a thought.
Yeah, so I'm not thinking about that. Is there any chance they get one big free agent anywhere? Jadeveon Clowney. He's a free agent. They're going to break the bank for him?
No.
Golden Tate.
What's breaking the bank?
I bet they make a call for Golden Tate.
Sure, I was going to ask, what's breaking the bank for a 31-year-old receiver? How much money?
How much did Quincy Enunwa just get guaranteed, or is it Robbie Anderson?
Well, Enunwa's got nine a year. Average annual value is nine.
$20 million guaranteed.
I don't remember what he got guaranteed.
Quincy Enunwa, $20 million guaranteed.
Yeah, well, everybody, you know, guaranteed money now, they throw around like you and I throw around quarters. So I guess Golden Tate would be asking for more than Quincy Enunwa. Probably don't. They probably don't do that. I think if they sign free agent big money contracts, I think it's going up front to the offensive line.
Okay.
Because they keep saying how you build the team up front. You win the line of scrimmage. I think if they spend big money, it'll be on offensive linemen.
Ready for my Sabres question? Have you given thought to the idea that they won't sign Jeff Skinner?
No.
Take a moment to look at the Sabres and how you feel about them. I think they will sign Jeff Skinner. I think that it makes a lot of sense. But what if it doesn't happen? And he walks. It's a big, loss. And who's filling that spot?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's why I want to. Can I interject a question then?
Sure.
So they haven't really had meat and potatoes talks yet with the agent. If you're Jason Bottrell, you know what I was thinking about? Like some of the names that are being bandied around on the market, whether it's guys with term or rental players. You know, Mark Stone and Matt Duchene. And Matt Larkin had a piece up at Hockey News this week with five teams that should make a run after Vladimir Tarasenko. And he has the Sabres as one of the five teams. Here's what I would be wondering. Can Jason Bottrell get an idea from Don Meehan and Jeff Skinner? What does he want to be here? And what it would take?
Well, let's
and if not, does Bottrell do, like, does he say, well, I won't have Skinner's $9 million cap number next year. I'm going to go try and make a trade for Vladimir Tarasenko. Whatever. Some other piece. Go make another move thinking that salary space next year is not going to Jeff Skinner. I want to get an idea of whether Skinner is willing to sign here. If I'm Bottrell. Because that might affect what I do by February 25th.
And you think, I mean, trading for Vladimir Tarasenko.
Well, you'd have to give up some.
A ton of pieces.
Picks, prospects. They want young guys. They want picks and
there
prospects.
There indicates your value of Jeff Skinner is that to get Skinner's replacement in your scenario, you're giving up a ton.
Well, it's not necessarily just him, but I'm saying you would, if you're Bottrell, would you now, I think you'd almost shift in another direction, say, is there anybody out there that I can make a move for now? Because I'm not having Skinner on my roster next year and beyond. That space.
This is part of the point I made like last week about how Bottrell's not going to deviate from his plan. Some of his plan isn't up to him. You know, he might plan to keep Jeff Skinner. That's up to Skinner whether or not he wants to stay. And I am fairly confident. I think Skinner will sign. I think things are good. He's happy.
Seems very happy. Right.
He seems pleased. He's scoring a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the All-Star game matters. Whatever. But he might be encouraged about the way things are going, and if he signs, great. But if he doesn't sign, like I was thinking about that yesterday. I just constantly think about, all right, well, Skinner's on this team going forward, but if he's not, their next best winger is?
There is no next best
winger. Try not to hyperventilate.
No, there isn't.
It's bad.
Reinhardt?
Yeah, it's bad.
It's Reinhardt because there is no next best winger.
Pominville's gone after this year. I mean, unless he wants to come back.
No, you don't even have to go through the roster.
Your depth in Rochester at wing is not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nylander, of course, is not dead yet, but whatever. You're just not like banking on that. C.J. Smith is,
and I'm not screwing around with like a 40 goal scorer or 50. I'm talking about 20. Anybody gets over 20.
Right. Right.
There is no next best way.
Skinner's going to go to 40 this year, probably, if he stays healthy. Maybe to close to 50.
And that's why wouldn't Botchel have to think about making some kind of
so
move?
So that's where it becomes. If you say I'm comfortable paying him about 7.5, you want to make it 8.5? Because if not, the next closest guy on in your organization right now at wing, we're talking struggling for 20.
Forget about 8.5. You have to be comfortable if they're asking for 9 or higher, right? You were out the other day. I was reading something from, I want to say it was Pierre LeBrun from TSN, and he had talked to a few agents around the league about the Skinner contract. And one guy had suggested, it's a wide range, so it's an easy answer, but one guy suggested it's over Kane and under Sagan. That's a 7 to 9.85 range.
Sure.
It's definitely over Kane.
Definitely over Kane.
I think if you're the Sabres, you have to think, are you prepared to go to like $9 million a year for Jeff Skinner?
Yeah, you hope to get it. You hope to keep it under. You hope to keep it as low as you can.
$8 million, that'd be great, but he's not signing for $7.5 million.
I told you 2 months ago that my super secret Sabres guy said that at that time Skinner had said 9.5 to not go to free agency.
Yeah.
Now maybe that comes down to 8.5.
Maybe. Maybe he is very happy here and, you know, doesn't want to price himself out of re-signing here. I don't know. But that's why I said I think Botchel has to have an indication from the agent. What's going on? Give me an idea of what it's going to take. A, does he want to stay here? Okay, that would be the important question to answer. And if he says yes, Jeff's very happy. B, great, what are you looking for? What's your term? What's your average annual value? And if the Sabres think either you're not going up there and there's no way they're willing to move and come down closer to you, then I think Botchel has to look around and see what else is out there. Not a rental, because you're talking about Skinner not being here next season. A guy with term, a winger, whatever, some other person you can add that adds goal scoring to this roster, and you have that space, that salary space now opened up. I haven't thought a lot about it, only because, you know, with the two sides not really talking, it's just kind of been back burner. It didn't seem like, you know, there's anything that's going to get done anytime soon now that we passed the first of the year. So I haven't given a lot of thought about it.
I saw a breakdown of the Sabres roster recently about how they're scoring. And of their 14 forwards that are behind the top line,
yeah,
7 of them are scoring at a fourth line rate.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, these guys are in hellacious slumps. You know, we had the stat the other day with Oposo, Sherry, and Pominville. And nobody scored the other night, right? Sherry, no. Pominville, no. Oposo, no. These guys have scored one goal each in the last 20-plus games. Come on.
Now imagine Skinner's not in that group.
I don't want to. You know, and
so there's value. What's Skinner worth? And then what is he worth to you?
Yeah, a lot to you.
A lot.
Because how do you make that up? It's goal scoring by committee that you hope is in Rochester if you don't re-sign Jeff Skinner or Botchel
sure.
makes a move.
For instance, hypothetically, okay. Toronto. Let's say he wants to play for the Leafs because he grew up there.
Yeah, right.
How much is he worth to the Leafs? Not as much.
No, because you got to worry about Matthews and Marner and all that
Marner,
stuff. And
Riley,
Tavares is there. And right, yeah.
Kapanen.
Right.
You know, you've got to worry about your offer sheets that are coming in.
But they've got multiple options of goal scoring. This team is leaning on Skinner.
Whereas the Sabres, I mean, they need to keep him.
He's leading the league in even strength goals. That's why I think you got to have an idea of what he wants. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll have the Sabres game tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll switch over to football for a few moments because the Jets have their head coach. Adam Gase stays in the AFC East, Bills fans, as he goes from Miami to the Jets. And we'll go to the Western Hotline and be joined by Brian Costello, who covers the Jets for both the New York Post and WFAN Radio in New York. Good morning, Brian. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I'm just thinking, Brian, any other the division now, this has happened multiple times, right? This happened Belichick, Rex Ryan, now Adam Gase. Is any other division like its own coaches as much as the AFC East? I'm trying to think of other guys that have moved.
That's a good question. I can't really think of others where it was head coaches moving around. You know, Cleveland hired Hugh Jackson from Cincinnati, but he was a coordinator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of other divisions where this has happened as much. It worked out for the Patriots. Didn't really work out for the Bills when they hired within the division, right?
Did Pete Carroll coach two teams in the division, too?
Jets and the Patriots.
Jets and Patriots. Yeah, it wasn't exactly back-to-back.
Right.
2 years separated, but yeah, he did.
Brian, one of the reasons for hiring him, was it because they saw Miami go 5-1 against the Jets?
I don't think that was a big deal, guys, honestly. You know, I think it was a lot more than that. They did a very thorough process here. They talked to 8 guys. They did a lot of homework on all of them. They made calls about each guy. And I think, you know, there was just a lot of things for Gase that he kind of checked the boxes, so to speak. They really wanted a head coach who had experience before. I think that was important to them. They have not had that since Bill Parcells in 97, unless you count that one day of Bill Belichick in 2000. Mm-hmm. But the guys they've hired since then have all been first-time head coaches. Herm Edwards, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles. So I think they wanted someone who wasn't learning on the job this time. They also wanted a offensive-minded coach to work with Sam Darnold. That's clearly the priority for the Jets right now, as it should be. So they got both of those things, and he kind of bridged the gap. Because there were some candidates who were really hot offensive minds, like Cliff Kingsbury, who has no experience. And then there were guys who had head coaching experience, like Mike McCarthy, but he's kind of older and not so up on the new stuff that's coming into the league, the new offensive scheme. So Gase is kind of in the middle. He's a 40-year-old guy who's already had 3 years as a head coach. So I think all of that really appealed to them.
How's it going over with the fan base? What's the general reaction?
Not very well.
But nothing goes over well with Jets fans other than Sam Darnold getting drafted.
Yeah, well, head coaches usually go over well. You know, I mean, I don't remember this reaction for Todd Bowles. And, you know, Rex Ryan was very popular. I can't really remember. I don't think, you know, I think we received pretty well. They thought they were getting a piece of the New England, you know, secret sauce there. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember a hire going over quite this poorly for the Jets, but this one is not being received well. Although, other than McCarthy, I'm not sure who Jets fans would have been excited about.
Yeah,
none of these guys were that inspiring on the list.
You mentioned the search and the 8 people. So Matt Rhule's name had come up from Baylor, and there was a report that that didn't work out because they wanted to tell him who to pick as offensive coordinator. Was that right?
No, that wasn't right.
Okay.
What happened is, like every coaching hire, the Jets, the big question was, who are you going to have on your staff? Who's on your list? Who do you want to hire? Now, a guy like Adam Gase had just spent 3 years in the NFL. He has a staff that they kind of know. Mm-hmm. Matt Rhule's coached 1 year in the NFL his entire life. He was an assistant offensive line coach for the Giants in 2012. So the Jets wanted some input into who he was going to hire on the staff. They weren't going to dictate to him who it was going to be, but they wanted some input on it, which is understandable. And I think I watched the Cliff Kingsbury press conference in Arizona, and he basically said Steve Keim is going to pick his defensive coordinator for him. So it's not that crazy, but they weren't going to hire Rhule. He was one of the finalists, but Gase was their choice. It was never like he's not coming because they won't let him pick his staff, as some people framed it.
Okay. You were in touch with Sam Darnold about the Gase hire, right? Mm-hmm. What did he have to say to you?
He's very excited. You know, he talked to him Monday night. They had a FaceTime conversation. He talked to a lot of the candidates. But he was really impressed with Gase. He thought he was fiery in the call. He liked, you know, they talked some ball, and he liked what he had to say scheme-wise. So, you know, he was pretty pumped up. And I thought it was genuine where he was coming from. And I think he's excited to have a potential, you know, head coach for the next however many years that's going to work with him on offense. You know, they're going to be joined at the hip now. I think that was important for the Jets, too, is this wasn't a coach coming in who was going to have a really good offensive coordinator that then was going to get hired by another team in 2 years as a head coach. Gase is going to be the offensive coordinator, essentially. He's going to be calling the plays. So he and Sam Darnold, they hope, will be the marriage that can last for the next 10 to 15 years.
We, you know, up here we were talking about Josh Allen and his rookie season, Brian, and how he definitely looked better after coming back from the injury than he did before the injury.
Yep.
You can say the same for Sam Darnold. I would assume Jets fans felt pretty good about his last month or so, including that come-from-behind win here.
It really started in that fourth quarter in Buffalo. You know, he didn't have a great game against Buffalo that day, I thought. That was his first game back, but the fourth quarter was very impressive, and he made some really great throws. You know, that, remember the long scramble throw that he made in that game? He made the throw on the sideline, set up the game-winning touchdown. So it started there, and then he had a very good game against the Texans where they lost late in the game, and then he had a really good game against the Packers where they lost in overtime. Not so great against the Patriots, but that was kind of a weird game, the last game of the year. But I thought, yeah, he had 6 touchdowns and 1 interception in the last 4 games of the season. So things seemed to click a little bit better for him after that injury, and I think it was an encouraging way to end the season for Sam Darnold.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I saw a story about maybe Greg Williams as defensive coordinator with the Jets.
Yeah, that's talk. I mean, no one knows for sure yet. They haven't even actually officially announced Adam Gase yet, so we're waiting for that. But we talked about Vance Joseph's been reported. Greg Williams has been reported as a possibility. So we'll see who ends up being the defensive coordinator. That would certainly be interesting, as you guys know, with Greg Williams. If he comes to New York, there would be some interesting press conferences.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, too. I think, you know, the Jets, kind of like the Bills, they're positioned well. I mean, the Jets have even more cap space than the Bills do.
Yeah.
They have, I don't know how many total picks they have. I know they have the 3rd overall pick, but they're, you know, maybe I'm sure that was attractive for Gase. They're positioned well to really add to the roster this offseason.
Yeah, I thought this was an attractive job for the first time in a while. You know, that I didn't think when Bowles took it, it was a very attractive job. But this year, you know, they have the quarterback already, they hope. They have the number 3 pick in the draft. They have $100 million in cap space. So there's some things they can do, and they have some other good young players, like Jamal Adams is very good. Marcus Mayfield has been helping with the safety letter Williams. So I think this job stacked up pretty well with the other jobs that were out there. I thought maybe Cleveland and Green Bay might be considering better jobs, but everything else I thought wasn't up to what the Jets were. So they now should be able to, theoretically, go out and spend the money and build around Sam Darnold and have a much improved team in 2019.
Brian Costello on the beat, covering the Jets for the New York Post and also WFAN Radio in New York, joining us here on our Western Hotline. Brian, thanks for the time. Have a good weekend.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Brian, talking about the Jets, I was just looking at a story about the other football team in the New York metropolitan area, the Giants. And Pat Leonard from the Daily News just tweeted out a story and is throwing around ideas of, first, 2 things that are of interest. The Giants need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That Dave Gettleman constantly says he believes in taking the best player available, so it's possible he doesn't go quarterback at 6 overall.
Find me the GM that doesn't say that.
And that would it be possible in this crazy Josh Rosen talk from Arizona
that the Giants trade for Rosen.
Josh Rosen?
There are 5, I just saw an article, 5 destinations that make sense. Who should trade for Rosen?
Rosen? Yeah.
Baltimore. No, I'm sorry, not Baltimore. Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Denver. The Giants, and I forgot the other 2. The Patriots.
Yeah.
And I forgot the 4th one. Who could it be? Jacksonville, Giants, whatever. I'm
trying to think what other teams are
looking
for a quarterback.
It was 4 destinations for Rosen.
Yeah.
Not 5. Maybe.
Well, it's pointed out, though, in this story in the New York Daily News, that apparently the Giants did a lot of research on Rosen, fully vetted him and all that stuff, but supposedly preferred Darnold over Rosen. But, geez, hey, dude, you got to get a quarterback at some point, Mr. Gettleman.
I mean, maybe Arizona pulls the trigger.
Boy, that's crazy.
How about if maybe Miami was the other one?
Raiders, maybe, if they moved on from Carr? Was that possible?
If it's either the Patriots or the Dolphins, how about Allen, Rosen, Darnold,
in the division?
Wow. It'd be fun. So, yeah.
Don't go to the Patriots. If it turns out to be good, don't go there.
Already tweeted in, Parcells, another coach, 2 teams in the AFC East.
Jets Patriots, that's right.
Does any other division have this where several coaches have coached for 2 teams?
I can't do this live. I'd actually have to sit down and spin through the divisions and think. That seems like a frequent occurrence.
Hugh Jackson could do it in the NFC North.
But that's
AFC North,
that's
yeah. AFC North, right.
He'd be the first one
I can think of.
There's now at least 4 or 5 guys we just came up with. Pete Carroll,
Parcells, Belichick, Gase. Parcells, Gase,
3, 4,
Rex.
5. That's 5. That had 2 stops in the same division. You know, who else would have done? Nobody else would have done. Pittsburgh never changes coaches. Marvin Lewis was not a head coach elsewhere.
Nope.
So forget the North. I mean, that's why I said you'd have to spin through the divisions.
Cleveland's had so many coaches, but are any of them previous head coaches in the division?
Pittsburgh, no.
AFC
Cincinnati,
West.
Baltimore.
Kansas City, it's Oakland. Who was it before Andy Reid? John Gruden.
Todd Haley
was the coach for Kansas City, but not for anybody else in that division.
Correct. Marty Schottenheimer is one that did.
Kansas City and the Chargers. Right. Okay, but
not beat back
5,
to back,
but you still got to beat. You got to beat 5 guys in the division in the span of Pete Carroll goes back how many years? 20, mid 90s maybe. I'm trying to think when he would have been in New England or with the Jets.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd have to think about the other divisions. It seems like a pretty high number. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 when we get back. Danny Garrett's going to be with us. We've been telling you about the celebrity roast. Danny is getting roasted this year. We will talk about, well, some hockey memories with Danny, but also get his thoughts on the current Sabres team. That's coming up in a moment. We owe you another code word in our National Win Cash Contest. The word this time is future. F-U-T-U-R-E. Text future. And now I'm getting tweets about this. You know, George Seifert, San Francisco, Carolina. Okay, but you got to come up with a division where five guys have done
this. Yeah, San Francisco, Carolina, not the same division.
Carolina would have never been, right? They would have never been in the...
In the NFC West?
No. Yeah, no. That's right. So, yeah, it's got to be the same division, and it's got to be five instances. You got your work cut out for you, Twitter. Go ahead. F-U-T-U-R-E. Text it to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock to text the word in. If you do, and you win, you get $1,000. Shope and the Bulldog will have more code words this afternoon. We're going to be playing again all next week. Seven chances each week, Jake, to win $1,000 in the National Win Cash Contest from WGR. So February 28th, we're looking forward to it. Grapevine Banquets in Depew. We're going to roast Danny Gare, and he is joining us on the Wester Hotline. Danny, it's Howard and Jeremy and Brayton. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, but I'm not getting roasted in a month and a half. What are you, crazy? Do you know what's going to be said about you that night?
You know what? I was just such a good altar boy when I grew up. You know, they can't find much dirt on me.
Oh, honestly, I'm worried that after that night, there might be a campaign to take your banner down.
Well, there might be a few fisticuffs too. You know, some of these guys, if they get too deep, there could be some problems. No, I'm looking forward to it. The reason I probably agreed to do it was because some of the proceeds are going to go to my dad's scholarship program, which I think is excellent. The GR is doing that. So looking forward to making some money for that, but probably not listening to these yo-yos that are going to be on the dais.
Well, look, the good news is you do get the last word.
That's true. I have the mic, and I will continue to hold it and talk until the day is done. So I'll get back to them. You're absolutely right.
It's funny. We've done a lot of these roasts, Danny, and it's pretty much been either Bills or Sabres related, so football or hockey.
Right.
And I will tell you that I think while all of them are always entertaining, hockey stories tend to be a little crazier and, over the line, so to speak.
Like edgy, you're saying?
Yeah, edgy. There you go. That's a good word for it. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's just a hockey thing.
It's funny, the last time I was on a panel to roast was Rob Ray when I was working for the Columbus Blue Jackets doing some television for them, and Razor was just, I think, starting out his television career. So I got him pretty good. I don't think he liked me for about 3 years because of that, and we're friends now, though, which
good.
Is good.
Well, Rob can zing with the best of them, so I would never want to take him on in any kind of competition. Let me ask you, whenever, I don't know, fans stop you, Danny, and always ask you about your time here or when you do take a moment maybe and reflect back on your time here at the Sabres, what are some of the things that stand out about those days for you?
Oh, wow. I mean, I just remember it was funny when you say that because we played in a sponsors tournament to the alumni and all the players were at the current Sabre players, and I got to play in front of Jack Eichel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking with Jack, and he can hit the ball a long ways, a kid, and he's having an amazing season. But I remember telling him that I remember about our team. We had good teams back in the day when we played, but I said, I remember really getting off to a real good start. It's important for a team, and the team has done that. But to get back to your question, I think the one thing about, for me in Buffalo is is enjoying the people of Buffalo and working with the Sabres. I'm proud to be an ambassador right now and work with Renee and Gilbert and Dominic and also some of my charity work, which I enjoy doing with units, Upstate New York Transplant Services. So, yeah, and my kids. My kids are there and grandkids. So, I mean, I'm blessed, Howard. I can't complain.
You know, you mentioned Eichel, and I'm not here to tell you, you know, Eichel is Perot. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun watching Eichel develop, and he's certainly having his best year for sure. You played with a guy like Perot. When you're on a team like that and you realize you've got, you know, an elite-level player there, what's it like to have a guy like that on your team to be able to play alongside or watch this guy play?
Well, the thing about when you have players like Gilbert and he had some pretty good line mates too with Renee and Rico, but I think the thing with those guys was they were just so consistent and cohesive. They could skate, they could make plays, but Gilbert, he was the centerpiece. We all know that. His ability to do things once he got the puck, much like Jack does. Mm-hmm. He, you know, Jack excites me when he grabs the puck. I mean, he has that same knack as what Gilbert, but you know you're going to get an opportunity and a scoring chance every time, you know, he controls play. And I think it's been exciting to watch his team this year. I think Jack's matured a lot. Hopefully, it sounds like he's healthy to go tonight in Carolina. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing him grab some points tonight.
You know, you mentioned Jack and getting excited when he's got the puck. We were talking about that a few weeks ago, and there's another guy. Those are few and far between, Danny, at least here anyway. I think it reminded me a little bit of, I wasn't here for Perot's playing days, but it reminded me a little bit of when LaFontaine was here. I think that's another guy who, the minute he steps over the boards and he's on the ice, you're glued to see what this guy's going to do on the next shift.
Totally agree. I mean, when my retirement came up and I started doing some work for Empire Sports, Howard, you remember those guys, those days, but I like Patty's, you know, his ability, again, it was his skating, and they all three of those players we mentioned, Pat LaFontaine, Jack Eichel, and Gilbert, were outstanding skaters, and not only were they outstanding skaters, but they could handle the puck well and dish it when they needed to, but I think that the big thing with Patty was that he also had finishers. And I think, Gilbert had finishers and Richard Martin. Eichel has got Skinner, who's been unbelievable. Yep. And he had Alex Mogilny. I mean, Mogilny, I remember him when I was working down here. Patty and him were just on a pace that wouldn't stop as far as points and goals. And I was here in Tampa working for the Lightning. And I interviewed Alex Mogilny and Patty and in mid-February, and two nights later, I had 56 goals. It was a record for the team. He blew by it, scored 76 with Patty and Alex Mogilny. So yeah, it was those. You got to have one to have two. You know, you got to have a playmaker and a guy that can finish. So they're fortunate with both Jack and Skinner's been unbelievable.
Danny, what do you like about the team this season? I know Eichel and Skinner are probably at the top of the list, but as you've watched them play, what are some of the things you like about this season's team at this point?
Well, I think a big part of this goes back maybe to the off season. I'd have to give Jason Botterill some kudos and what he did in the off season. You mentioned Skinner. We've talked about him, but to get a guy like Hutton, you know, who I thought has been very good, and the goaltending has been superb. Him and Ullmark have been strong. I think when you saw what with O'Reilly trade with Thompson and Sobotka. I mean, those two guys, I think Thompson's got some real upside. This guy, I'm very impressed with his shot and his ability and size. And then, Sheary and whatever, the things he did on the back end, too. So saying that, I've really been impressed with what he did in the off season. I like the coaching. I think Phil's done a great job. But the players themselves, and it's like anything else, Howard, there were some tough years, and it's difficult to, have confidence when you have tough years. And I thought right off the get-go, they grew together. They've got confidence. There's a belief in that room now, and they're accountable to each other. And I think that's a big part of winning hockey.
What about Rasmus Dahlin, who has, I think, impressed everybody? What have you seen from him as an 18-year-old in the league?
Well, I you know what? I think Rasmus is the real deal. I mean, everybody that I talk to around the game, and if you watch him, he's only an 18-year-old player, but, I mean, he seems to be a humble kid. He seems to, you know, have that ability to handle the puck. And what I like about him, I mean, you don't see this too often in a player. You never see him look down at the puck. His head's always up, and he has that, you know, again, the ability to stick handle without even looking down, and the feel that he has, and the ability to see open ice and his vision. I mean, all that stuff is something that is remarkable when you really watch him closely. He never puts his head down and looks at the puck. So hopefully, you know, he'll continue to grow. I mean, he's had a great year as well as a team. The second half's a little tougher, as we all know, and they're going to have some, you know, tougher teams to battle against. Teams prepare better, but you know, they're heading in the right direction.
How's your game these days, Danny? They could use a little secondary scoring help.
Well, you know what? I'm actually in Tampa working with my synthetic ice right now. My golf game will be better this afternoon.
Okay, but I mean, we'll limit your minutes. You don't have to take, you don't have to play 25 minutes a game, Danny. Just the odd shift every now and then.
Well, I'm glad they finally they've got some finishers. I think that's important for this hockey club. You got to score goals to win. So I'm sure the break will be helpful to everybody too. That's coming up in the All-Star break, but. You always want meaningful games in March, Howard. You guys know that.
I wanted to ask you before we let you go. You mentioned the synthetic ice. I'm sure fans are curious. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Well, as being an ambassador for the team, I'm enjoying that. But also, I have a company called Can Ice. It's a synthetic ice company actually manufactured down here. We're the second largest plastic company in North America in Clearwater. And just pushing the envelope with that. We've done a couple institutional sales. Like big rinks. We also sold it to Sidney Crosby for his training in the summertime. He uses it. Jonathan Taves, the Chicago Blackhawks, has used it. He built a big area in his house. And, you know, it's just something that I really enjoy because it helps develop the game. And I wish I had it when I was a kid because the glide's amazing. Kids really love the fact that they can just go out anytime and practice their game, and we're excited about the product. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that because I don't know anything about synthetic ice. And when you mentioned Crosby and Taves, I wanted to know why do these guys practice on it? What's the upside of using it?
Well, the big part of it is they don't have to go to the rink. They're very private, man. You know, in the off season, it doesn't make them have to drive here and drive there. They can work on their shots. There's their tight turns. They're skating. They're stick-handling ability. Yeah, no, Jonathan has had a – Jonathan Taves, we were in Chicago with his dad about a month ago and with my partner. He really, really used it a lot this summer, and his game has been – it's one of his best years so far, and Crosby's ain't too shabby either. So, no, we're still marching on. It's an educational, this product, because synthetic ice is – you know, it's been around for a while, but it's with technology, you can get – it's all about the glide. Nothing's going to be like ice, but this is pretty damn close.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on the 28th of February. Danny, enjoy your time between now and then, and we'll see you for the roast.
Thank you. And you guys, and tell Jeremy not to be too hard on me, okay? And when you start up the roast, I know that we're going to have a couple of old teammates of mine, but one guy that I'm a little... you know, not sure about because we might have to go at it again is Dave Schultz. He's coming in the hammer.
Oh, my.
So,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Wow. I got to tell you, Danny, I hated the Flyers and the Broad Street Bullies going up, So I got to not fond of the idea of Schultz being there, but well, whatever. I'll make it work.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Danny. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, thanks.
Danny Garrett joining us here on a Western Hotline. Schultz, oh, man. And again, now I know he played here at some point. I was not here in the 70s, but man, I hated him. Hated him, hated the Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies, that entire group of players. Let's see. I wonder if we all gang up on Schultz. I mean, I can't take him. But all right, anyway, the tickets are available if you want to be there for all the fun and the frivolity of a celebrity roast with Danny, WGR550.com. Again, it's Thursday, February 28th. You got a... You can go, by the way. But you have some friends who are family members, big fans of the Sabres, grew up watching the team in the 70s, would go to the odds, see Danny and all those guys play. I'm sure they would love to be there and listen to all the stories that are going to be told that night. So get your tickets at WGR550.com. Again, individual tickets are available. VIP experience tickets are available as well. You got the roast. You got the three-course dinner. You've got a silent auction. There's some great autographed memorabilia that will be up for silent auction, as Danny mentioned, to help benefit the Ernie Gehr Scholarship Fund. So go to our website to get your tickets, WGR550.com. Our celebrity roast of Danny is brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, Liberty Cab, and by Dr. Beyer Opticals. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. When we get back, Extendo Sports will set you up for the weekend. The Sabres, who else is playing this weekend, the standings, we'll get to the NFL schedule, all that coming up in a moment. Extendo Sports next, Instigators at the top of the hour on WGR. I lied. Shock of shocks. We went to the break late. There's no time left. So Instigators will get you ready for tonight's Sabres-Canes game, 7:30 face-off. Don't forget tomorrow night, Sabres in Tampa at KeyBank Center, 7 o'clock. Both games on WGR. You got that. You got all the football this weekend. You got UB Hoops home tomorrow at noon against Miami. Enjoy it all and be ready to talk about it Monday morning with us. Have a great weekend.